Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to this radio broadcast. We're really glad you're listening this morning, and we do pray that God would bless you as you listen, that you might receive a blessing from hearing His own precious word. We'd like to look this morning in the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through verse 13, as we think on the subject, the healing of the centurion's servant. That's Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through verse 13. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. That's 124 South Main in Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. So these are our regularly scheduled services, and you're certainly welcome to come. Bring your Bibles and just study the Word of God with us. And I know that if you're looking for a place where you can really worship God, where you can find out what God is saying to you from His Word, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. We invite you to come. If you have questions or comments concerning the things that we believe, the things that we practice, or the things that I preach over this radio station, I'll be glad to talk with you about any and all of those things. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, the book of Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5 down through verse 13, the Bible relates the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This morning, as we think on this subject, the healing of the centurion's servant, there are some things, some points that I would like to give. Number one, I'd like to think about the city of Capernaum itself. And then, number two, let's think about the centurion himself. And then, number three, let's think about the fact that the centurion came. First of all, what kind of city is the city of Capernaum? Now, we all know that Capernaum is a city of Israel, and we would normally and naturally think that the city was one that where everything would be real good. But let me show you some things that the Bible says about this city of Capernaum. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, the Bible makes this statement concerning what happened when Jesus was in this city. Beginning in verse 21, when they went into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day, Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught. Now the Bible states in Mark 1, verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus preached and the folks were astonished at what he said. But notice another thing happened. In verse 23, there was in that synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, and recognized that Jesus was the Christ. And Jesus cast out that unclean spirit. And the Bible says that they were all amazed. And they questioned among themselves and asked themselves, what kind of man is Jesus Christ? Well, that's all good, right? Well, you'd certainly think so. The problem is that Jesus did all of those miracles. Jesus performed all of that teaching, and yet, in the city of Capernaum, Jesus Christ himself was not accepted. Notice what the Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, the Bible said in verse 23, and here is what Jesus said about this city. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in them had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Wow, that's pretty tough. Because Jesus is saying that the judgment of Capernaum, the city where he taught and the city where he performed this miracle of casting out this demon out of the man, that Capernaum would receive a greater judgment than Sodom. And Sodom, as you know, reading back in the book of Genesis, is that place where Lot dwelt, where the homosexuals dwelt, and where God destroyed the cities of the plain, five cities, because of their exceeding great wickedness. Now, how is it that Capernaum will receive a harder judgment than Sodom? And the reason is because Capernaum was given more light. Think with me now. How much light did Sodom actually have? And if you go back and you study this, the Bible says that the angels came to Sodom at eve. They were in Lot's house, and you remember all that rigmarole that happened with the homosexuals there that night. And then the next morning, Sodom and the cities of the plain were burned up with the fire from God. They did not have much light from God. But Capernaum has had much light. This tells me that the judgment of God not only is brought upon a city or upon a person or a land or whatever because of great wickedness, but the more severe judgment will be brought upon that land that has the most light. Now, in the book of Matthew, also chapter 17 and verse 24, we find another passage that talks about the great depravity and the great rejection that people had for Christ. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17 and verse 24. Jesus left Capernaum, and then he came back as he traveled on his way. And in verse 24 of Matthew 17, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, well, of strangers. Jesus said unto them, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. This passage is all about how that the people at Capernaum did not accept Christ at all. They considered him a stranger, although he was not. This is why the great judgment will come upon Capernaum. Now, I've said all of that to say this. The centurion, in the book of Matthew chapter 8, the centurion came to Christ in the middle of a mass of people that rejected Jesus. The centurion came to Christ desiring the healing of his servant because the centurion understood that Jesus was the Son of God. Now the point is this. that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But that doesn't mean that you and I cannot come to Jesus and receive answers to our prayers. Everything around us does not have to be right for us to be right. Today, if you're lost, and you're listening to this radio broadcast, listen, if you're lost, all of your family does not have to be saved before you can be saved. If you today are saved, all of your family and all of your work and everything around you does not have to be right for you to be right. After all, they may be waiting on you. And so you are the one that needs to be where God wants you to be. This is what the centurion did. Another point here concerning the centurion. A centurion is a Roman soldier, and he is over 100 soldiers. That's why they call him a centurion. And oftentimes we think of the centurions or soldiers as being hard people who are not concerned with the welfare of others, that they're just out to kill and to maim and all of that kind of thing. But not all of them are that way. And here we find this centurion who was concerned about his servant. The centurion, I know, loved his family, but this was a servant that was ill. And the centurion would do all he could to take care of his servant who was ill. This is a wonderful thing. Just because a person has some power doesn't mean that they have no concern for those around them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm glad that it is so. You know, centurions are just people. And every person is just a people. We are all born into this world, and we all have an eternity that we're going to. And every person has a curiosity that is inside them concerning God and concerning spiritual things. One thing I found is that people will either seek the truth in Jesus Christ and worship that, or they will seek a lie through Satan and worship that. People will worship something. We need to worship the one and the true God. There are other centurions who were faithful to God. We find in the book of Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there was the centurion that was there by the cross. And when Jesus died, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I would give you another example of a good centurion. The book of Acts chapter 10, the man's name is Cornelius, and he is a man who worshiped God and gave alms to the people. And we find also there was another centurion by the name of Julius that took care of Paul when Paul was on that ship headed to Rome. And so all kinds of people are concerned with the welfare of those around them, and all kinds of people are wanting to do what God wants them to do. Third point is that the centurion came. The centurion, when he saw that his servant was ill, and the Bible gives this description of what the centurion said. He said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." You'll see here that the centurion has entered into the suffering of his servant when he says he is grievously tormented. And all the centurion did when he came to Christ was not demand anything, but the centurion simply laid the situation at the feet of Jesus. And whatever Jesus would do would be fine with the centurion. Of course, the centurion wanted his servant healed. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "No, because I'm a man under authority. All I want you to do, I just want you to say it. I don't have to see it." Isn't this a great message of faith? Because we don't have to see God working. We just need to know that he is going to work. That's faith in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I see that my time has gone away from me this morning. We do appreciate you listening. Invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. Thank you now for listening.